Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Some people like to come out here and be a part of this every time we have it. Peter Fagan, Bucks president, is one of them. Always comes out whenever I ask. Sure, Sparky, no problem. Love to come out. Thank you for coming out and joining us here in our Bears sunroom. And how are you doing, man?
Good, good. Well, you know, like history, I don't. You probably don't take any credit or don't realize like why my loyalty is. Like when I came here and we started this, and it was a, you know, an era ago when we were trying to build some momentum of building an arena and build a team. You were one of the first people to ever say like, "I'm with you." Like, come on, like help do this. This is the next generation. And two, Blaine Fleet Farm is literally, I'm not a paid endorser, is one of my favorite places of my whole migration to Wisconsin in this chapter of my life. Like I could go down the aisles of the store and be happy for like a couple hours. And by the way, you can bring your dog, like just so you know, which is another, like who knew? Like this is, so I sell my experience, you know, certainly with Sparky, but Blaine's, that's two home runs.
No doubt about it. I think last year in the week we were here doing the toy drive, I believe I counted 50 dogs that came in and out of the store in the course of a week over 5 days.
You know, during the winter and, like, you know, for a quick kind of weekend walk, like, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? And by the way, and again, I am not a paid endorser, but I'll tell you, the associates at Blaine's,
awesome.
They treat up, I save a lot on food for the dog. Mm-hmm. The dog, I have him fatten up, like, during those walks. They treat him, like, the whole way. It's awesome.
That's awesome. Peter Fagan, Bucks president, out here at the Toy Drive. I want to go down the road of many things, but obviously the first thing that broke today that everybody's excited about and want to see, Chris Middleton, now listed as probable in the injury report, expected to play against the Celtics of all teams, which is beautiful. What can we expect to see from Chris Middleton? I mean, do we think it's going to be limited minutes, back-to-backs? I can't imagine that's going to be a thing.
Yeah, I think you're going to see, I mean, I think you're going to see like 15 to 20 minutes is a safe kind of kind of run to get in. He's in like great shape. This has literally been like him like getting ready. This is one of those situations that's so hard to air publicly because everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's ready. Hey, he should be healthy to get him. But it's kind of like all of us together waiting for like the moment is right. So I think kind of last night or early this morning, I gave him the LFG text, you know, right back, like, here, you know, so yeah, I think Chris is one of these quiet, subtle guys who's been like our all-star and like our anchor behind a hell of a lot of wins over the last decade, and everybody's very excited to have him back, and we've been like very anxious, you know, kind of like waiting.
So what's been the thing? Because the report came out, and again, not from you specifically, but the report came out saying that he was cleared a few weeks ago, but kind of waiting on him to get back to being ready. What was the thing that was kind of holding him up a little bit?
Yeah, I think Chris is certainly, like, you know, first of all, he's 30 plus, you know, veteran with, mm-hmm. you know, with double ankle surgery over the summer. So I think one was just feeling up to snuff, knowing that, you know, I always say, like, a pro athlete to a certain moment will never be 100%.
Correct.
You know, they're kind of aches and pains. And then I think it's the nuances of actually playing basketball. Like, it's not just, hey, can you play offensively? How do you feel defensively?
Yeah.
How do you feel your movements? And how do you go? And he has been like a stickler, you know, to feel, you know, to feel that 85% to get it. And he's been right about it, you know, so it's hard to argue with
sure.
him sometimes. So I think for us, it was, you know, kind of, again, like an anxious patient, you know, to get in. But again, Chris has been someone who's been, you know, not just on the team, but such a core vital part, and will continue to be, like, you know, to change our trajectory going forward, you know, which will be great to have another option.
I want to ask you this, because I've been saying this since the beginning of the year, and if you disagree, by all means, tell me I'm wrong. It feels to me, as a fan, right, kind of like a last dance year a little bit with this roster. If you look at contracts and age of Brook Lopez, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, Middleton obviously has an option, that type of deal. Lillard's obviously older, but he's under contract. Giannis is okay still. But just that a good chunk of this could very well change next offseason because of contracts.
Oh, I'd be lying to you if I said that wasn't true. Yeah,
right?
I think we've set ourselves up to be, like, we want to be championship contending teams, you know, with, like, deep kind of thing. We think there's a model in the NBA without too much scientific knowledge that you really have to have your 2.5 plus all-stars to
right.
to kind of do that. You've got to be able to shoot in a certain amount, and we have, you know, relied, there are several different strategies, but, you know, we have built around Giannis, you know, and continue to be, you know, Giannis showing probably, I'd argue, the best player in the NBA right now and kind of what he's been doing. But how do you build around him and build the parts to get him with, like, when we think this machine is running well, this is a championship caliber team. And I think, like, you certainly need, like, the flexibility and the optionality, like, as your roster grows older, you know, like,
right.
You know, again, like, you can look at the age of our roster and say, like, yes, like, what, you know, if you had a magic wand, what would you do? And you'd get younger and more athletic is what you do. And that, you know, that will, those will be the decisions and the pivots as time travels and
sure.
we cycle through.
No doubt about it. Talking with Peter Fagan, Bucks president, out here at the 18th annual Fan Toy Drive. Let's go to the young side of things, because I have questions on that too. So, again, outside looking in, me just being a crazy fan here, you get to the draft, you all decided to go with the really young guys, like the 18-year-olds, and go swinging for the fences, kind of like how we got Giannis in that type of situation, versus going with somebody that's a little more experienced in college, might be more ready to come in and contribute right away. What was the thought process kind of behind that?
I mean, John, I think, has always been kind of on the developmental side, that, you know, the first year impact players are so rare.
Yeah, they're
so
yeah.
they
yeah.
just don't exist. You know, so how do we create? And I think over the last year or so, we've changed our coaching staff to really be kind of to have a developmental section on that too. So, like, part of this strategy of like, what do you do with an aging roster is really think about youth. So, I mean, we've got five or six kids that are kind of like, I tell you, like, almost in this developmental league on our roster.
Can't even drink.
That are, you know, AJ, Liam, Andre Jackson, you know, who's playing now. So we've got, you know, we know that we've got to bring those in. And then I think the draft choices really came down to getting the best possible prospect at that number pick.
Regardless of age. See, and again, we go back to the Bucks, and when John Hammond did the thing with Giannis, I remember talking to John Hammond, and I said, what are you doing? Are you going to get yourself fired? Because I remember, if we go back when Larry Harris was here in that draft year, and I have a lot of bitter feelings about the NBA draft lottery. That was one of them. The one year where they could have been, at the worst case, they would have been three in the draft lottery. It was the only year to that point where all the top three teams did not end up in the top three, and they end up sliding to six. So he drafts E.G. Anleon at that point. I was like, again, same thing. What are you doing? He's like, dude, I got to go for the shot. Like, if it works, he's going to be really good. If it doesn't, then I'm probably going to be out of here, whatever it is. But I got to do long-term what's best, not just thinking about me. Fine. So John Hammond then takes Giannis. I'm like, here we go again. And I brought that up. He's like, Sparky, I'm not going to get a superstar to sign in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Like, I got to take risk. I got to take a chance. He goes, if he works, he's like, then I'm great. And if it doesn't work, then I'm probably going to be out of here either way. So that I knew because both of those guys were in situations where they were trying to figure out how to get the star player, and they had to hit the home run because they weren't going to get LeBron to sign here. They weren't going to get Kobe to sign here. You had to do that. This situation here is a little bit different because it's almost like you're drafting these young kids, best player, biggest ceiling, whatever the case may be. And if we're right and one of these kids hit or two of these kids hit, then we really have that young core to continue this thing forward. You know, I'm not going to say after Giannis, but as Giannis gets older, younger players to kind of build with around him.
No question. And you can see kind of like, listen, like we're, I don't think we're getting, or certainly John Horst isn't getting enough credit for Andre and for what AJ, you know, is doing, you know, on the shooting side on duty. But it's a great example of the second year guys, you know, like how do you develop someone in year one? We have a veteran team. You need to get rotations. And now we've got guys contributing in a big
for
way.
Sure.
You know, the first guy off the bench and Andre starting, and I think will become, you know, kind of one of these specialized defenders that, you know, really is special in the NBA.
So I was talking to Peter Fagan, Bucks president. I want to move away from this, and I want to talk about this ownership change because obviously I haven't been on the radio for a while, so I want to kind of have my first take at this with you. So talk about this transition between Mark Lazary going, Jimmy Haslam coming in. What was that process like, I guess, kind of inside as far as what you can share? Like, when did you realize that, okay, he's going to sell and he's going to get out? And then how much communication was there between him and you all as far as who he was considering selling to and how that whole process played out?
Yeah, I mean, the process was pretty, you know, I would say dictated, you know, by a partnership agreement and how that stuff goes down. So, like, there has to be, like, a total agreement among the operating partners, which at the time is Wes Edens, Mark Lazary, and Jamie Dimon.
So he couldn't sell to anybody.
Right.
He had to sell to somebody that those other two guys agreed
to. Because they wanted to agree with what partner would come
sure.
in. You know, you want to be agreeable with, like,
right.
what your partner is. And then I think, like, through the processes, Mark, you know, probably 6 months before the close – indicated that he was interested to go into market. And I think, you know, everything worked out well that Jimmy Haslam and Dee Haslam, who are the owners of the Cleveland Browns and the MLS's Columbus Crew, like were very interested, kind of came in, and they have been like a great like injection of kind of not only knowledge, but like real support and encouragement and kind of the same mentality of like, anything we do, we should be the best. Like, do not think of yourself as a small market. Think of yourself as, you know, a incredible enterprise, a great brand, and a really competitive, like, team to get that done.
The second tax apron. Not Oof. Every ownership is going to agree to go to the second tax apron, regardless of who they have. And, you know, people get mad at Major League Baseball and where the Brewers' payroll is versus the Dodgers' payroll and how screwed up that is and so forth. But in the NBA, the Bucks, if you all said, hey, we're working inside this business model and we aren't going to play up there, like we're here to make money, that's what this is all about at the end of the day, you all could take that route. Now, I don't know if you're making money or not one way or the other. I would assume they are, otherwise they wouldn't be here. But that's still a big amount of money that you're having to fork out playing ball up near the second tax apron.
No, in a small market, you cannot make money in the second apron, just to let you know. When owners make that decision, like, that's a decision. Now, the value of your team, your enterprise value goes, but that's like an example of where it is. Now, listen, they want to be judicious. They want to figure out, like, how to be efficient, and we don't want to be in the second apron.
Right.
Like, I would lie to you if I said, like, hooray, we're restricted. We can't trade anybody. There's no mid-level exceptions.
Stock.
We're really in tough. So I would say, you know, when you talk about all the things we think about on a daily basis, what are the scenarios? How would you think of this team differently? Who would you trade? What would you do? The other thing is, like, what are strategic moves to get under that apron? Because it really is, like, it really prohibits your flexibility so much, like, in what you're able to do, especially before the trade deadline, for free agency, for everything. So it was successful mechanism for the league to put that in because it has stopped teams.
It's certainly not a hard cap technically like the NFL, but it kind of already is kind of a hard cap because a lot of owners are not going to allow their organizations to go anywhere near that thing.
It's so punitive that you maybe you do it for a year, you know, because you're really going for it
right.
to get it done. But I can't see teams sustaining second apron, you know, payrolls for long periods of time, no matter what market, whether you're the Knicks, the Lakers, Golden State, like who make money, you know,
sure.
who could afford it in a large market.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, talking with Bucks president Peter Fagan, who is out here for a couple more minutes at the 18th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin Robin's Nest. You can donate online between now and tomorrow at 6 o'clock. If you can't make it out here, thefanmilwaukee.com. Again, thefanmilwaukee.com. We'd love to see you down here. Donate some toys. Buy some toys at Toy Line here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. We'll take cash donations as well, again, here till 6 o'clock tonight and then 8 a.m. till 6 o'clock tomorrow. Do you think you've changed from day one walking into Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to where you are now, as far as how you view everything, whether it be, you know, running the organization, what you thought it was going to be like versus what this kind of has turned into, whether it be what you thought maybe this community was going to be versus what it turned into being? Has it changed you? Do you think?
100%. And I'd say, like, maybe the core attributes have stayed the same. Like, hey, I'm impulsive. I like to, you know, I'm like a sales guy.
Yes, you are.
There's a big energy. And, like, I don't think anybody could probably care about this more than I could, like, in the whole world. Like, it's, mm-hmm. like, it's done. But what this has done, I never would have dreamed professionally or personally, like, to be so happy. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, this job was a job that I can actually kind of, like, I just love, like, I have fun. I laugh my ass off every day.
That's awesome.
Like, to get it done. It's, like, on a platform of NBA basketball. I know how lucky I am to get it done. I know, like, we've had an unbelievable kind of roadmap to certainly, like, be successful, but to leverage luck, to leverage timing, to leverage stuff. When I think of, like, the last 9 or 10 years, and you think about coming to a town from New York City where I've never lived anywhere else, and getting an arena built, kind of the Deer District,
yeah.
winning a championship, kind of going through COVID, building an infrastructure of stuff.
Thing.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, just so many chapters, and what it's done for my family and what it's done for my life. Yeah. So game changing. It's, I hate to say it. I think it's probably made me a little bit nicer. Like,
look,
I actually,
you.
Yeah, I think I've, like, I think, like, because you're in this environment, it's such a people-driven thing.
Yes.
Like, when I grew up in New York and professionally, you know, you'd have breakfast with someone and never see them again. You'd talk to someone, never do. You know, here really is a community. Like,
yeah.
here really is, like, building equity and trust, and,
yep.
like, it's about relationships. You know,
and if people trust you, they'll give you a break on something and everything.
Absolutely. It's about, yeah. like, how you build it. So, like, yeah, I mean, I think I've certainly, you know, I've aged a decade, which is always interesting to go in. But, yeah, I think I see things a little bit differently. And it's been just so much fun and so incredible. And, like, I still wake up and just get so excited at the prospect of, like, building a global brand and how do we blow this out of the water.
This is the other thing. I give you all a lot of credit all the time on the radio. And some people agree, some people don't, whatever. I'm going to go with it to the day I die. I firmly believe you all are responsible for rejuvenating and getting that downtown kind of going in the direction that it's kind of gone in the last few years. There was no talk about any of these new buildings and all this other stuff coming along when it was just the Bradley Center. You all came in with this big idea of, let's make this a place where people want to go and hang out and be downtown and get the bars and the restaurants and all of that going. That Deer District is unbelievable. And the activation of how you guys use that, you know, throughout the winter, throughout the summertime, and so forth. Obviously, I know that was an idea. Did it play out the way that the ownership group kind of wanted it to play out when they got here? Did it not get to be as big as they wanted it to be? Because I know they had a vision of kind of what they wanted it to be.
Yeah, I think I think we had, like, a little bit of a hiccup with COVID, like, in development and kind of real estate and what goes on. But we're about to finish, you know, in 6 to 8 months, we'll finish the Live Nation venue to kind of have that little niche. We'll have a hotel built on that land. And then you've really kind of, like, built the infrastructure that I think is greater than they could have imagined, because we love to take credit like we had this incredible vision. By the way, these guys had incredible vision.
They did.
We are going to acquire 35 acres and figure it out. You know, which is and design it, unlike have it go within the fabric of the city, make it a destination. One of the greatest advantages I always tell everybody, like especially when I'm like teaching a class at Marquette or Wisconsin, you know, it's an unbelievable case study, because in a major metropolitan area, you'll never get 35 acres again to be able to figure out something downtown to get it done and be able to cobble that together to be a mixed use kind of thing.
But you guys did your homework too. You went to Green Bay and talked to those guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, went all
Columbus,
over the,
Kansas
you went
City,
all over the country.
Like-minded cities, kind of best parts. But the other thing we had, which is like kind of a huge advantage, is Milwaukee was designed and didn't really have like a meeting place, didn't really have a destination like where you could gather, you know, a few thousand people. You know, so that was a huge advantage as well.
I mean, think about it. If it was the Bradley Center and you go to the playoffs, you don't have 65,000 people or whatever the number was all there being shown on TV around the country, the Deer District, and how that whole thing blew up. That was one of the coolest moments ever.
Coolest ever.
Coolest ever.
Ever. So cool. That's literally that frame picture is like when I walk like down to my basement is like the picture of the packed Deer District watching television. It's not the arena. It's not Giannis.
You're not even in the arena.
It's like literally like transformational.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And again, those are memories you'll always have. We'll always have those. So thank you and to the owners and all of that fun stuff too. And thanks for coming on, man. I always appreciate
it. Well, I always appreciate you. You were a big part of us getting to make this happen. So I thank you. Have an unbelievable holiday.